Welcome to Top Talent. This is the podcast that originates from the, the basement of an undisclosed location with equipment purchased from a defunct Radio Shack here in the Albany, New York area of upstate New York. We concentrate here on talent who either live here, discovered or undiscovered, or maybe ones that you've heard of who are coming to the area. But again, the key word here is talent. That's what I'm concentrating on. My name is Ryman Richie Phillips. That's the name I used proudly. It's a corny name, but I used it proudly for 30 years on radio here, part of a very popular and, may I say, CMA award-winning morning show. I'm going to brag about that. Had a great time on radio. Radio, very, very good to me. And my job here is to try to give back, to find talent and expose it to the world one download at a time. And now time for today's talent quote.
The top talent, talent quote.
It was Ben Franklin who said, quote, "Hide not your talents, they for use were made. For what is a sundial if it's sitting in the shade?" It's pretty cool, I like it. I don't know about you, but talent sometimes I think is associated always with musical talent or maybe artistic talent. But the longer I'm around on this planet, I realize there's talent of all kinds. I mean, I have a great example. A long time ago, we had some work done in our house, and these guys came in, and they were actually working on a room for us, an addition to our house. And they came into the existing room, and they saw a piano, and one of the guys said, "You know, I listened to you on the radio, and you really have a lot of talent." And that was a nice thing to say, and I appreciate it. But then this guy was designing a room for us from scratch using his own plans. That's a talent. So in other words, he's not thinking of himself as being talented, but he's thinking of me as being talented just because I have a musical ability. And so that was kind of the early genesis of the idea to do something like this. And so hopefully I'm going to expose all kinds of talent. And here's an example. In this episode, we're going to talk about talented radio personalities, talented DJs, as we like to call them. Although the term disc jockey is kind of a useless term. There's no discs anymore, and you're not jockeying anything. You're really a computer mouse mover, because that's basically what all the music on radio stations are on a computer. But, you know, I digress as usual. But anyway, we're going to talk legendary radio people from the Albany area, because those are the people I really have had my experience with. We're going to talk to a gentleman who I've known for a very, very long time, who I worked with many years ago, moved out of the area. He was here between 1985 and 2000, I'm thinking, but he's going to give us the exact dates. And without further ado, I would love to introduce you to former DJ from radio station WGNA-FM in Albany. He now lives in Charlotte, North Carolina, and we're going to talk to him, find out what he's doing, find out what he thinks about what's going on in radio these days, and just commiserate with him. I also have some special guests I'm going to pop in and surprise him with. Here he is, the legendary Dick Stark After Dark. All right. I think everybody knows the name of my podcast. It's Top Talent, and boy, I have got a top talent here, a multi-talented individual I've happened to have known for the past, 30 years? 35 years?
32 years.
Oh, to be exact. Yes, and I'm going to let him rattle off his resume, which is huge. It's about 19 pages. Ladies and gentlemen, former night person from WGNA Radio back in the day, and for you people from out of the area, we are the biggest country station in the Northeast and continue to be. I say we like I'm still there, but I'm not. But here he is, Dick Stark, quote-unquote, after dark, but now before dark. Here he is, Dick.
Nice to have you. That was a great intro, first of all. Thank you very much. How I ever made it on your show, Top Talent, I'll never know.
Well, you start rattling off this resume and people will know.
Well, I've been offered to do podcasts for washed up talent, never been talent, never top talent.
Well, this is a podcast for washed up hosts, I can tell you that.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right, so shall we begin?
Let's start from the beginning.
I actually met you came over to WGNA maybe around 1988, 89?
Exactly, 1988. 8888.
1988. So I had been working at 107.7 starting in May of 1985, doing overnights. Before that, I was actually in Virginia. I was working in Charlottesville, Virginia.
Really?
Yeah. I left. I went to school in Albany at the new school of, I think it was called Contemporary Radio at the time.
That's correct.
Now it's called the New School of Radio and Television, I believe.
That's right.
And then I actually went on to teach there for a while, too.
See that? This is talent.
But anyway, so I left there and I got a job in Stanton, Virginia, and then eventually in Charlottesville, Virginia. And I lived in Virginia for a couple of years. And then I was offered a job, two jobs on the same exact day. I was offered a job to do overnights at GNA, and I was offered a job to do evenings at the country station in Syracuse, New York. On the same day, offered two jobs, and I chose the Albany one because we had family there, and my wife and I were going to start a family, so we wanted to be in Albany. So I was working overnights and then eventually went to 7 to midnight, and then Uncle Fred Horton came over from TRY, and you came over from TRY.
That's right.
And GNA exploded at that time.
I have to interject here. The person he's talking about is Uncle Fred Horton, who was a very, very influential program director for WGNA. We ended up doing mornings together for years as the Morning Breakfast Flakes in Albany, New York. Okay, we continue now with Dick Stark.
And that's when Fred gave us all the fancy nicknames, Ryman Ritchie,
yes.
Uncle Fred, Dick Stark After Dark, Dollar Bill Early. Who did afternoons when we first started?
Oh, my God. I can't think. Who did afternoons? Wow. I'm a complete blank.
I digress.
That's going to upset the person who did afternoons.
Yeah. If they're listening, they're going to be very mad at us.
Yeah.
I think it was a rotating door. We had multiple people doing afternoons.
Yeah, it might have been.
So anyway, I worked at GNA on the air from 1985 till about 1996. And then Uncle Fred at the time, our marketing director, left. And Uncle Fred said, how would you like to do marketing? Which is something that I always wanted to do. So then I became the marketing director at GNA. And we had a few other stations there in Albany, too. And I can't even remember which ones they were. GNA was the dominant station at the time. And I did that up until 2004. In 2004, I left GNA and took a job with Time Warner Cable.
You became Dick the Cable Guy.
Yeah, Dick the Cable Guy. So I became marketing director for Time Warner Cable Media Sales. And I had many different roles in the 13 years I was there until May 2017. And then I left there in May 2017. Took an entire year off when I left there and just played golf for a whole year. I didn't get much better. You know, you think you would get a lot better. I did not get that much better.
Right.
I did lower my handicap a little bit. But anyway, I took a year off and then I kind of got bored. And I took a job with a company out of Philadelphia, Pennsylvania called Field Marketing Solutions, which is an advertising agency. And I've been working with them since May of 2018.
You're still with them?
I'm still with them. It's one of the, you know, I do multiple things during the day. I work with them on some projects. And then I opened up a vending company.
Yes. Saw that.
Healthy Vending. And you can check it out online, starkhealthyvending.com. So I have the vending machine business. And then for about the last 5 or 6 years, I also have another business called Stark Reality, LLC.
Now, excuse me, when I read that, I thought it said Stark Realty. I thought, oh, my God, he's getting into home sales.
No, everyone thinks that.
Oh, okay.
It's actually called Stark Reality.
Oh, okay.
And I actually have a band and an acoustic trio here in Charlotte, and we go out and play local venues probably on average twice per month. And the name of the group is called The Stark Reality.
Which is a great name.
And actually, I did not come up with it. One of my former band members, we were looking for a name, and he actually came up with that. And he said, we should call ourselves The Stark Reality. And I said, you want to name the band after me? Oh, twist my arm. So we did.
That's well, look at that resume.
So that's kind of my resume from 1985 till the present.
Yeah, but we're talking about talent, and we're talking about the ability to do multiple things to stay alive in the business world, and you've done it. I mean, you know how radio is a very, it's a fleeting thing. You're on one day and you're off the next, and you've survived by doing other things, and that takes talent. That's why I'm having you on, Dick.
Well, because I'm not excellent at any one thing, but I guess I'm pretty good at a few different things.
Which is good. Which is good. Going back to GNA, and this kind of was on my mind as I'm watching the CMA Awards, and I know people may listen to this podcast 6 months from now, but as we're recording this, the CMA Awards were on last night, and we saw Garth Brooks win, the entertainer. And I was going to ask you the question, why do you think country music exploded so much when we started on the air? I credit it to that guy, don't you?
Oh, absolutely, 100%.
Oh, my God.
It was Garth Brooks.
It was definitely him.
He was exciting, new, different. I think he was probably the first artist. And this is what's so popular about country music today. The people who listen to country music have a wide variety of tastes.
Absolutely.
They didn't just grow up listening to country. They grew up listening to country, rock, southern rock, hip-hop.
That's right.
And you hear all those influences in today's country music. That's why it appeals so much to them. So going back to the 90s, when Garth came out, he was probably one of the first artists to meld, you know, country music and rock music, the stuff that, you know, we grew up on. And it just appealed to such a wide variety of different people.
Now, this isn't video. This is an audio podcast, but I actually, over in the corner, have a picture of a signed autograph here with name dropping of Garth Brooks. Do you remember? Garth Brooks came to our radio station back then and had a conversation, stayed there for like an hour, hour and a half. I don't even remember if he went on the air, but he just was with us and sat there and talked to us. He was just incredible.
Yeah, he was, and I shouldn't say he was different than a lot of country music people, because I think as a whole, you know this, when GNA was at the top of their game, big-time country music artists used to come visit us all the time.
Absolutely.
We were one of the top 25 country stations in the entire United States.
That's right.
And I would say 99% of them were just the most humble, kindest.
Yes.
Give you their time. They were so great. I have so many great stories.
I know.
We met. And Garth being one of them, just stopping by, hanging out, and just talking for an hour and a half.
Somebody, of course, called. I get telemarketers right in the middle of these podcasts all the time. So I don't know how to stop it. But
well, just answer and tell them you'll call them right back.
Yeah. It's always about my car warranty. You know, I haven't had that car in 14 years, but my warranty is still, you know, is still available. Yeah. What were we talking about? Oh, we're talking about Garth.
Garth Brooks and country music exploding in the 90s. And how lucky we were to be in on that, because at that same time, not only was Garth Brooks exploding, but Uncle Fred kind of programmed a radio station, a country radio station that was quite different at the time,
right,
than what country stations were.
That's exactly right.
He programmed it more of, you know, a pop hit radio station.
That's right.
Where personalities were, you know, larger than life. Thus, he gave everybody names. You know, so, you know, you combined Uncle Fred and his genius of programming a radio station, the explosion of Garth Brooks. We just rode that tide, and we were very lucky to be there at that time.
It was a gravy train. It was a gravy train. You're listening to Top Talent, the podcast, with my guest, Dick Stark, who is a former disc jockey in a huge radio station here in upstate New York, WGNA Radio. And by the way, this podcast is being brought to you by my website, which is www.hireritchie.com. I think the name speaks for itself. Hint, hint. Won't be able to remember it, you say? Hope this will help.
HireRichie.com.
That's HireRichie.com. Now, there's another aspect of your talent that we really haven't pursued, and that is your ability to write or co-write music. And I happen to hear a couple of the songs, and I actually have a clip of one of them here.
All right.
This
is
great.
It kind of came about. I had no intentions of ever writing music. I don't think I ever wrote a song in my life. My brother, Dave, moved to Nashville in 1987 when he was a young man to become a songwriter.
Is that right?
Yeah, and to become a songwriter in Nashville, I mean, you got to be willing to do just about anything. you know, as life would take it, you know, he ended up meeting, you know, his wife, who's still his wife today. And he got a job and he was seduced by the money of working in the corporate world. And he kind of got away from songwriting. And so about 3 or 4 years ago, he was visiting here in Charlotte, where I live, and he was talking about wanting to get back in songwriting. And I said, oh, well, I got a whole bunch of like, you know, like chord progressions and they're not songs, but they're like riffs and chord progressions that I've come up with that I think are pretty good. Here, take them with you and see if you hear anything. And he came back like within a week and he said, boy, one of those riffs that you had, I wrote this song called Deadly by Design. And he put the words to the music that I had and we worked on it. And then we had a demo done in Nashville and it sounded great. And that was kind of the beginning of us writing songs. He wanted to get back into writing songs. And I just happened to have some music that he thought was good enough to put words to.
Now, on one of the sites, what is it, SoundCloud? Or I forgot what site it is. When I looked, there's like 30 songs on there.
Yeah, so I'll do a shameless plug again.
Yeah,
so it's called ReverbNation.com.
ReverbNation, okay.
So go to ReverbNation.com/David Stark/songs. And so there's 33 songs on there, 12 of which he and I co-wrote. And I think one other song he co-wrote with another mutual friend of ours. But then he wrote the other 20 songs by himself.
Gotcha.
And all songs were recorded in Nashville by studio musicians and studio singers that you pay to record your songs.
And one of them had a little fame.
Yeah. So I think the song clip that you're going to play is a song called Still Be Mine.
Correct.
And the person who did the vocals on that song is Adam Cunningham. And Adam was on, I can't remember what season of The Voice it was, but it was 2017. And he was one of the finalists. And then he moved to Nashville. And as he's trying to make it in the country music world, one of the things they do is they work for these production houses doing vocals. And so we hired Adam Cunningham to do the vocals.
Now, did you go down there to watch it? Were you involved in the production at all?
No, we're involved in, you know, I mean, I'll do a rough demo of how we want the song to sound acoustically. And then I'll do a demo of me singing it to the acoustic guitar. And then we'll send them the chord charts. And then once you give it to them, you know, they just kind of take it from there and make the magic happen.
I'll tell you, you must have flipped out when you heard the final product because this could go on the air. Well, I'll let you folks be the judge.
It sounds a little bit better than the demo I sent.
Well, let's hear a little bit of Still Be Mine from the Stark Brothers, I guess, right? Is that what you're calling yourself?
Yeah.
Stark Brothers.
Yeah.
All right. I think it's great. I honestly think it's great. And it's available right now, and you can buy it right here. No.
You know, the Stark brothers were kind of like the Bacon brothers.
Yes.
Without the talent, the looks, or the money. But other than that, just like them.
Just like them. Exactly like them. So as my mind works the way it does, I did this out of order because as we were talking about you being on radio, I was looking for any kind of a clip of you on the air on GNA, and I kind of semi-pride myself in keeping as much as I possibly can, like every parody, every dumb parody I've ever done, all kinds of stuff, videos. I have so much stuff. But I kept searching Dick Stark, couldn't find it. Dick Stark, couldn't find it. But I did find one thing. It was you were substituting for Sean, I believe, one day. You came in, and the subject matter was the Furby, the toy, the Furby. I don't know if you remember this. And I had a parody that I had written like that morning during the commercials, and you can tell because it's bad. And, you know, you ran the board and you were the DJ that day. and you brought your guitar, and I have a little clip of it.
And Dick's playing the guitar on this. How do you like Dick's playing so far?
Good. Oh,
we had a listener.
Gotta get you one. Keep going.
Gotta get you one.
Dick.
Furby.
One more time.
That was the whole part.
Gotta get you one.
I'm so glad that after 11 years on air at WGNA, this is the only thing I've recorded.
I know. It's the only thing I could find. I was so upset. And you looked through your archives and couldn't find anything because they're all on cassettes, right?
Yeah, you would think I would have something.
Yeah.
And I thought I had an old air check with on cassette, of all things, but I couldn't even find that. So,
well, there's other things that kind of came up as I was doing research. I got an email from a gentleman who says that he knows you and had an experience when he called you on the air years and years ago. And so yesterday afternoon, I called him on the phone and said, would you be willing to do a little explanation? So I have this guy, and I'm going to play it right now for you, Dick. Here we go. Are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay. Well, what's your name?
My name is Walt.
Walt. Okay. All right, Walt, go ahead. What's your story?
Well, you know, years ago, I had just moved to the area and didn't know anybody and was a country music fan, so I found GNA pretty quickly and started listening at night to the Dick Stark After Dark show. And
right.
He had a friendly voice, quick sense of humor, really, you know, struck a warm note with me. He became, again, friendly, almost like a friend, listening on the radio. But after a while, you know, my life got pretty difficult. My girlfriend and I split up. I was having trouble at work, and I didn't know really who to turn to. And I had Dick Stark on in the background, so I decided to give him a call. To my surprise, got through to him really quickly. He was very friendly, asked me about my story, told him everything, and very kindly at the end said, you know, can I play something for you? I said, yeah, you know, hearing some Johnny Cash would really make me feel good right about now. And then he said something that I'll never forget, and it made me understand just what kind of a man he really is. And he said, Johnny Cash, what are you, 100 years old? And he laughed and hung up the phone on me. Needless to say, I faced that night alone.
That's a friendly voice that you really need when you're in trouble. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Friendly guy, right?
Yeah, that's the Dick that I know. But no, I'm just kidding. No.
Yeah.
But you have kept in touch all these years, and seriously, right?
We actually became friends through a mutual friend, David Macedo. We met, and Dick's part of my fantasy baseball team. We talk frequently about music. Just had dinner recently with him and his lovely wife, Lena, in Albany.
Oh, no kidding.
I hope he's getting, you know, comfortable with my friendship, and I never forget a slight. I'm just biding my time.
Well, thank you for the email. That's a great story. I love it. And
great to talk to you, Richie.
Good to talk to you all. And okay. Unfortunately, I can't play Johnny Cash, but maybe Dick has his guitar with him right now. I don't know. Man. Hey, Dick.
Sure.
I can try to do a Johnny Cash impersonation, but it always comes out like Mr. Ed. Hey.
Yeah, it's a resemblance.
That's you're right.
That's good.
All right, well, thank you so much.
Thanks, Richie. So long, dude.
Okay. Uh-oh.
Yeah, this is for Walt.
Yeah. I hear the train a-coming. I heard the train a-coming. So that's Walt Mahosky?
Yeah,
yeah,
that's Walt.
And you kept in touch with him, which is great.
Yeah, Walt and I actually have been in the same fantasy baseball league for 20 years.
That's something. That's great. So. Well, now he started me on a roll. Then I'm thinking, who else can I get from Dick's past to be part of this podcast? And I think I found just the guy. Dick, here we go. All right, Dick, we have somebody on the phone from your sordid past there, Mr. Stark. Can you please state your name, sir?
And it is a sordid past, too. Hi, Dick. It's Buzz Brindle calling. How are you? It's been a long time. Remembering the days we used to get together and plan out the Country Fest lineup, and which was a great night. I mean, it was a great time. I remember we figured, hey, let's bring in Faith Hill and because one of the reasons we wanted to bring in Faith Hill is because the sales department wouldn't know who she was, and she was known to people outside of the country format too, which was really beneficial in terms of bringing people to Country Fest who weren't necessarily country fans, but who we could help educate about being country. So that was a lot of fun, and I know your son and daughter are all grown up now. I remember sitting around with you talking about our kids and growing up, and now they're out on their own. And I hope you and Lena and the kids are doing well. So my best wishes from Molly and me to the Starks, and I have fun with Richie on this podcast.
Well, thank you so much. And I have a couple questions now. Number one, did Dick Stark take credit for Country Fest, like complete credit, or did he at least give you partial?
No, he took total credit.
He did? Okay. And when you went to his office to discuss Country Fest, was he playing the guitar a lot, or was he paying attention?
I never saw him play guitar.
Really? I never saw it when he didn't play guitar. We used to have meetings with guitars.
I missed that entertainment section of his office.
Okay.
Probably wanted me to leave soon, so he didn't want to engage me too much.
That's right.
Much when it came down to, right, Dick?
And we have to back up. Buzz Brendel was the program director of the radio station back then for many years, and actually he had a very big job in New York City, MTV. I think he was one of the founders, right? Or was it VH1?
It was MTV. He was one of the pioneers. I believe the assistant programmer for MTV when they first started.
That's right.
I mean, I think he hired the original VJs that were on the air. Yeah, Buzz had a big time job in New York. He also worked at WNBC in New York. I believe he was Don Imus's boss at one time.
Yeah, he's got the huge resume.
And Howard Stern's boss. Now, so speaking of Buzz, I still quote Buzz Brindle to this day. You know how, you just meet so many people throughout your life, and certain people will say something that just sticks with you your whole life.
Right.
And Buzz Brindle was, probably when Buzz and I worked together, Buzz was maybe 20 years older than I was, and maybe I wasn't the most mature young man at the time. And Buzz told me, he said, "Do you know what maturity is? You become mature when you finally think that the world doesn't revolve around you."
That's a good one.
And I remember that to this day. I've used that many times, even on my own kids. And I'll never forget Buzz Brindle telling me that.
Wow. So. Do you hear that, Buzz? Well, he can't answer because he's not here right now, which is very frustrating. I wish I could have everybody on at the same time, but this looks like I robbed a Radio Shack. I just put this thing together and I don't know. I don't have that capability. One more person got very jealous when I told him that other people were going to be on the podcast, and he told me, "Well, I want to be a part." So here we go. Who may I say is on the phone?
Hey, it's me, Sean McMaster calling.
Ah, unmistakable voice, Dick, right?
I just have a question.
Yeah, go ahead. Go ahead.
Okay. I know he did Crying, Loving, or Leaving for a long time. I wondered how he felt that his when his replacement actually got way better ratings than he did.
I love this because he can't answer right now, right? So,
yeah, exactly.
That's right. You did do that. So what is really your first recollection of him? Your favorite story, your Dick Stark story?
Well, it's funny because it goes along with that. I was actually working at another radio station, and Dick used to listen to me on his way home from Brian Levin or Letha. And so when he got his promotion or demotion, which I'm going to see it through, promotions, he actually recommended me to take the spot. So,
wow.
That's my, yeah.
So he's the start of your career. I didn't think about that.
Well, no, I had one before that, which you think.
No, your G&A career.
Yes, in that case.
Wow. And I know you haven't heard this, but I had Buzz Brindle on, and he said that basically Dick was partially responsible for Country Fest, too. So he's a force in radio, don't you agree? I mean, really, if you think about it.
He's something. Yeah, he's Dick. I'll tell you. He really did do a lot for you know, and a great guy to boot.
Thank you, and say hello to your new co-host. Well, partially new co-host.
Oh, yes, my new old one. Yeah. My wife, you mean.
The one who took my job.
We've been doing a show together for like, you know, I don't know, 15 years, just nobody was to hear it.
Now, we're doing a great job as my replacement. Great. I'm giving her piano lessons, too, so.
Oh, good. Actually,
now, we have to back up there because I keep forgetting there are people out of the area. Mm-hmm. Sean McMaster was my partner on the air for 16 years, and I guess Dick and Sean have a history as well. Sean is a huge force in radio. He's still on the air. He's on a radio station here called B95, so he's still going, and his wife is now his partner on the air, and she took my job, and I'm not jealous because I get to stay home.
Seriously?
Yes.
Wife is his.
Yes.
I did not know that.
Sean's wife is his partner. Yeah, it's the McMasters in the morning.
Oh, really?
Yes.
I'll have to listen.
And Andrea's great.
Now, I have the greatest memories of you and Sean doing the morning show and me being the marketing director. And the three of us would collaborate on ideas all the time, whether they were promotions or, you know, I think you guys did three comedy CDs at the time.
Yes.
So we were always collaborating. And the collaborations looked like this. You got off the air at 10 o'clock. You guys would come down to my office, sit in my office. You would bring in your small little portable piano and I'd pick up my guitar. And we would jam for about an hour
while
we were thinking around ideas.
Right. But the ideas still came. It wasn't like we weren't working. So you left the Capital Region. You're down in North Carolina. And I had the privilege of staying at your house several years ago and couldn't believe the size of your house. And what you get down there compared to what you get up here as far as real estate. Is that it's still the case? I mean...
Yeah. It's the South is...
Wow.
Cost of living is much cheaper. Taxes are much cheaper. You know, the size of the house you can buy down here for the same amount of money compared up there is, you know, unreal. So...
And Charlotte is a beautiful city. I loved Charlotte.
Charlotte is a beautiful city. And it's been, I don't know, 5 or 6 years since you've been here.
Yeah.
And you would be amazed in the 5 or 6 years since you were last here. The downtown probably has 30 new skyscrapers in 6 years.
No kidding.
Yeah, it's amazing. The 20,000 people move here every year. It's becoming one of the biggest cities in the country and one of the top five fastest growing cities in the country.
Now, I think when we were there, they were just putting that stadium in.
Yeah, they were putting the baseball stadium.
The baseball stadium, yep.
Yeah, so.
So that's great. Well, this has been a lot of fun to have you on. I really, I'm glad we connected.
Well, I'm glad that, and I loved hearing from you know, Buzz and Sean. Not so much from Walt, but, you know, other than that, it was painless.
That's great. So once again, all these different business ventures that you're involved in, I will have all the links on what's called the on the show note. They call it the show notes in the podcast biz. I'm trying to learn all the lingo. So it'll all be up there. You can click on it. You can get all of his songs. And that song is great. I think we're going to call GNA and have it put on the air. Now, it has a country twang to it. I know you did these in Nashville. Would you say most of these songs are country?
I would say that most of them have a country feel to them.
Feel, not twang. That's bad. Feel.
Yeah, I would say most have a country feel. Most of them are radio friendly for country music. Yes.
Yeah. Are you pushing any of them?
Actively? Yeah, listen, the songwriting business is very hard. There's thousands and thousands, if not tens of thousands of people who move to Nashville. So the best songwriters in the world are all there. And to cut through all that clutter and get your song played or recorded is pretty difficult.
Although we had two people. Yeah, I think you're going to say the same thing. We had two people from our area that made it big down there. And our area being Albany, New York. Yeah.
Yeah. Billy Montana.
That's right.
Who actually wrote, it was a Jody Messina song right after 9/11.
Right. Suds in the Bucket.
That was,
what's her name? Sarah Evans.
Sarah Evans,
that's
right?
Right.
That's in the bucket. And then the other song by Jody Messina. So he had a couple of big, big songs.
Right.
We're just trying to get one recorded.
Yeah, right. And Eddie Kilgallen, who ended up being in Montgomery Gentry. He ended up taking the place of Gentry in the band because unfortunately he passed away. He died in a plane crash or a helicopter crash. So a lot of fame from this area, including Dick Stark.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
Well, thanks again. And I hope you'll also, I hope you will subscribe to the podcast. Are you listening? That's my big question.
Oh, yeah. 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 I listened to your last podcast.
Oh, Madison Vandenberg.
Yeah.
Oh, she was great. She was great.
And then you had Phil Vassar on, and I was thinking, Phil Vassar, Madison, Dick Stark, one of these things doesn't belong.
Well, talent is talent. Doesn't matter how famous you get. Either you got it or you don't. But thank you again, Dick, and say hello to Lena and say hello to the whole fam-damily.
All right, I'll do that. Thank you very much.
Well, thank you so much for listening to this episode. If you want more episodes, again, you can go to Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts. And we're going to end with a rhyming editorial. I call it a rhymatorial. A lot of people are arguing to this day, what's better, living upstate or living downstate? And where's the dividing line between upstate and downstate? Well, I kind of put all that to song, and here's how we're going to end it. Thank you again for listening to this podcast. See you next time on Top Talent.
Would you rather live upstate New York, or would you rather live downstate New York? First things first, here's the frustration. Where is the line of demarcation? It just seems it makes sense to me that if you're traveling north of the Tappan Zee, you live upstate New York, and all the rest is downstate. Now, upstate is a saner place where you actually have some personal space. Much less pollution without fail. New York City's real nice unless you like to inhale. I love upstate.
What?
I don't want to live downstate. Now, downstate, there's no disputing on the LIE. That's a nasty commute. Sitting for hours in the same damn spot. Welcome to the world's longest parking lot. Upstate. Who wants to live downstate New York?
Not me.
They have apartments in the city of the smallest kind. You have to go outside to change your mind. If you want to own a home and live in style, you have to sacrifice your firstborn child. Downstate. I'd rather live upstate. Come on. The lakes, the parks, the colors in the fall. Closer to Boston and Montreal. While you're stuck in the city, you'll be damn sure wishing you were biking, hiking, boating and fishing. Old Forge, Lake George, Niagara Falls, and the Cooperstown Hall of Fame.
You should be ashamed if you live downstate.
You better move upstate before it's too late. Take it to the top, not the bottom of the top. Top Talent.
Richie, don't stop till you take it to the top.